Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And as you're going there, I want to remind you of two verses before you get there. Excuse me. Genesis 2:24 says that two people, a man and a woman, shall become one flesh. That is the purpose of your salvation, of a man and a woman becoming one flesh, a body, a soul, and a spirit becoming one flesh with God. Revelations 21:2 says that John the Revelator, and I am enamored with John. I've walked in his very steps a lot in the last 6-7 years. John is sitting on the island of Patmos, and he looks up and he says, "I saw come out of the heavens a bride adorned for her husband." How many of you want to be ready when Jesus comes back? Let me see a hand. We're going to talk about that next week. But how many of you want your home to be ready when he comes back? Well, let's talk about that, and let's start where it matters the most, and that is with a man and a woman. Matthew 25, 1 through 13 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. But when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in the flask along with the lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying," and always remember, the bride never knew when the groom was coming, "they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight," and notice the word all, the wise ones and the unwise ones. "But at midnight, in an hour you think not, there was a shout, and behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. Then all," didn't say the 5 that were wise rose, it said all of them arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give me some of your oil, because I don't have enough of oil to light my lamp the rest of the night.' But the wise answered and said, 'Nope, there will not be enough for us, and you too have to go to the dealers and buy your own oil.'" You can't walk with God on someone else's relationship. "And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went to meet him in the wedding feast, and the door was shut." And you underline that one. We'll talk about it next week. "And later the other virgins also came saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up to us.'" Open up to us. Open up to us. "But he answered and said, 'Truly I say, I don't know who you are,'" which is an intimate word for sexuality between a man and a woman. It's ginosko. "I don't know you. I don't know you intimately. And he says back to them, 'Be on alert then, and you do not know the day nor the hour that the Lord comes.'" What I want to talk about today is something that is rooted and grounded in good sociological science and in truth of the scriptures about how to build incredible families. Families start with a male and a female and a mom and a dad. But what you have to realize is just like the virgins had oil in their lamp, or they didn't have oil in their lamp, one lamp was closed and one lamp was open. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So my question for you this morning is your spirit open to your husband if you're a female? Is your spirit open to the male that you're dating? Or has he offended you and have you closed your spirit to him? I get asked all the time by people, "How do I win my wife back? How do I win my husband back? He's distant from me." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some good news for you. I want to ask you to ask yourself a question. Is your spirit opened or closed? And if it is closed, there is hope for you this morning. I want a big, hearty amen. God can do something for you. Now, when it comes to a woman's spirit, I want you to listen to me. A woman's spirit, according to Gary and Brenda, Barbara Rosenberg, there are 5 ways in which a woman feels loved. Number 1, a woman feels love when you unconditionally love her and accept her. When her hair is sticking straight up in the air, you say, "You're beautiful." When she doesn't feel her best, when she doesn't sense her best, when she feels like a failure, one of the ways in which we show the opposite sex love is that we accept them no matter what. What's interesting to me is, everybody go to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 with me. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25, because the Bible has a lot to teach us about healthy marriages. Ephesians 5:25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." It tells us as husbands to love the wife. It tells us as males to love the females that we marry in a certain way. But what's so interesting about this word is that word is not eros, which is where we get erotic love from. It is not philo, which we get the word brotherly love, which actually means that you go and kiss someone with affections or emotions. It's actually the word agape, the very word in which God says he loves you. God so loved the world, agape, unconditional love. And so the agape love doesn't involve emotional feelings. So number one, a woman feels love when there's an understanding and love and acceptance unconditionally. Agape love. Number two, intimacy is how a woman feels love. But a woman feels love in intimacy different than the way a man feels love intimately. It's emotional intimacy. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, fellas, and let me show you something that I've never seen in the Bible until recently. Now, I joked about this last week, and I've got several other jokes for a new sermon, but I'm going to go say the one I did last week. Use the same one. Men, I don't know about you, but like in my house, women communicate completely different than men. Jenny will look at me and she will say, "The trash can is full." And I'll say, "Yes, it is. It is full." Great observation. Very logical, very rational. The trash can is full. I did not know that meant you need to take out the trash. How many of you realize that men and women communicate completely differently? And what a woman means, you say, "How in the world does she mean that? That's not what you said." "Well, that's what I meant." "Well, listen, I'm not a magician. I can't decipher what you mean compared to what you said. You said the trash can was full. You mean you want me to take the trash out?" And when you realize that, it gets a lot better, fellas, let me tell you. But how many of you women, men know that when you communicate to a woman, she doesn't always understand you either? There's a difference, and there's a sermon coming on that. But right now, I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. There's something here that's fascinating to me. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, there it is. It says, "You husbands likewise live with." That is a word for sexuality between a man and a woman that is married, all right? And it says, "You husbands likewise live with your wives with understanding." And what the Bible actually teaches is that when marriage happens, you begin to learn things about the opposite sex you never realized in your whole life. You get all kinds of knowledge that you didn't previously have. And the Bible says that when you're married and you engage in sexual union between a marriage person that you're married to on the marriage bed, which Hebrews 13 and 4 says is sacred and holy, that you gain an understanding about a female you never knew before. And you realize that she's different. You know, I've often joked when I get to heaven, I'm not going to ask God whether Adam and Eve had a belly button or not. I'm not going to ask God whether which came first, the chicken or the egg. I'm going to ask, when you created men and women, what were you thinking? Completely different. And it doesn't mean that either one is wrong. So the Bible is telling us that husbands, when they engage in sexual union, cleaving, you got to leave, weave, and cleave. When you cleave, you gain a knowledge about a woman that you did not previously have. And it's not just sexual knowledge, it's intimate knowledge on communicating. That's why sex between two married people is so important to the Bible. It goes on to say, "Your wives in an understanding," so you'll get an understanding, "as the weaker vessel." The word weaker there does not mean mentally. It does not mean emotionally. It means physically. And it is one of those things that says, for the most part, men are stronger than women. It's just like that man that dressed up like a woman and won that Olympic or that game overseas this last week. And no offense, but he looks like a sleestack. Anybody knows what that is from Land of the Lost? He's like 6 foot something, muscular, dressed up like a female, got on a bicycle or ran a race against two women and he won. And now the women are crying foul, and rightly so. I don't care what this world tells you. I don't care what CNN says. I don't care what Fox says. It's what the Word of God says. There is a difference between men and women, and gender does matter. All right, now watch this. When it says a weaker vessel, it says she is a woman and grant her honor. Man, it tells us to grant her honor as a fellow heir, not somebody that you rule over, no caveman theology, a fellow heir by the grace of life, which means, mister, you fail too. You can't just blame it on a woman. We both fail. We both live in a fallen nature. We both have our issues. But when you look at the word honor, it actually means that you're living with a wife, dwelling with them with knowledge that you've gained because of sexual union. And now there's a respect, a rank, and a dignity that comes out of that honor, and that you care for the bodily event of a woman, and a woman cares for the bodily event of a man. It actually says that through that sexual union that we build better marriages and protect our marriages. Now, I want you to understand that it is possible to physically close your spouse. And when it comes to women, they say in counseling and in psychiatry and in sociology, the best information, that if your wife seems like she's distracted, if your wife maintains a distant relationship from you, if she spends more time in other activities than she does with you, if she's too busy for intimacy, if she avoids being alone with you, if children are a higher priority, there's a great chance you've closed the spirit of your spouse, the female. So that's not to depress you, that's to let you to know the warning signs. The problem is, men, we do not see that the way women see it. We see it as rejection. She sees it as not feeling safe. And that's very important. She needs to experience emotional closeness and feel listened to. And she needs to think and know that she's the top of your account and she has your undivided attention. That alone causes a man a lot of frustration, because me man, me solve problem. And what I've learned, and we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, is that the communication between a man and a woman is so different, because she's telling you about her day, telling you about her problems, telling her you about her good and her bad and all this stuff. And as a man, you are psychologically, physically trained to listen to solve a problem. Fellas, she doesn't want you to solve a problem. She wants you to listen. And that's hard for the sexist to understand. Now, moving along, she needs to feel like she's a cut above everybody else, and she needs to know that she's valuable to you. And that's true for a man. We'll get into it in just a moment. But number three, a woman's love language is spiritual intimacy. Fellas, listen to me, men. What your wife needs from you is for you to become the spiritual head of your home, for you to engage in spiritual leadership. Let me tell you something. I'm proud of this church. I watch you in the communities. I watch Shannon and Bobby at the first service with the Packers win yesterday. I watched several of you from the Titans perform one of the best football games with leadership. And I see so many of you involved in the community. I know that the church is full of teachers in the public square and the public arena. That's where you need to be. That's where you need to be, representing Christ and the love of God, and kids that don't even have a picture of Jesus in the house or any concept of Jesus. But at the same time, we cannot get an A in calculus, and we cannot get on the honor roll at Hanson Elementary School and then turn around and lose our children to hell. We've got to get an A plus in the world and an A plus in the house of God. And the only way that's going to happen is that when men say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And for you to take the spiritual leadership, I know scares you, but listen to me, fella, you can do it. It isn't always brain science. It isn't always having a devotion every Tuesday at 4:00. If that works for you, great. But in my house, I teach spiritual lessons in the moment. And I've told this story before, but it's a perfect example today. Aiden Knight wanted a sword, and he said, I promise you, Daddy, that when I get this sword, I will not hit Ella Knight with it. I promise I will not whack Lily. And I said, Aiden, do you promise? He said, I promise. He was 5 years old. I bought him the sword that he wanted. I turned my back, and I didn't hear a soft whack. I didn't hear a tap. I heard a whack, whack, whack. And he had popped his sisters in the head with a sword, could have poked their eyes out. I picked him up, I set him on the counter, and I said, Aiden Knight, do you know what you're about to get? And he looked at me in those big brown eyes and tears, the greatest spiritual lesson God's ever taught me as a father. Big brown eyes and tears started strolling down those eyes. He said, I'm going to get a spanking. I said, no, you're not. And he looked up at me like, what? I said, no, you're not. I said, today you're going to get grace. He said, Daddy, what's that? Like curiosity of a kid. He said, what's grace? I said, it's what Jesus gave us. It means you get what you don't deserve. And I told him in that spiritual moment, but the thing that I will never forget is how he, at 5 years old, fell into my arms and wept like a baby. And grace touched him more than judgment. Fathers, teach in the moment. When you're teaching sports, teach character. Teach sportsmanship. When you're going through the day and someone's being mean, go to the Bible and tell your kid how to handle it according to the relational wisdom of the Word of God. Teach in the moment. We can build incredible families that fear and love God, and we can take over the city, and we can get kids with straight A's in calculus, and we can have intelligent human beings in this church, but not at the expense of illiterate, biblical, ignorant human beings growing up in our house. We must say, as for me and our house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen, 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 and amen. So they need you to be a spiritual leader. They need encouragement. They need to know you value her. They need to know that you smile when you walk through the door. You say that should be fairly easy for a man. No, it is not easy for a man. A man is a rubber band. He goes away, and while he's away, he feels closer to his spouse. When I travel, I feel closer to my spouse more after I come back than I do oftentimes when I'm present. That's the way God created me. I think about them. I buy them gifts. I call them. I FaceTime them. I do all kinds of stuff. A man is a rubber band, but a woman is just the opposite. The more you're away from a woman or a female, the less they are attached to you. And so God says that we have to be wise as the children of God, and we must be patient. And when we walk through the door, men, we have an ability to separate our identity from all relationships. That's a problem for us. I'll talk about it in a minute. But when we walk through the door, a man needs time to unwind. He needs time to just unwind. He's compartmentalized. And women don't often understand that. That's why they say the trash needs out. We need to take the kid to the soccer game. We need that bombards a man. And a man doesn't think well under those conditions. He's got to have that unwinding time. But when you walk into your home, a smile, a hug, and a kiss goes a long ways. For her to feel that she's number one in your life, it lifts her spirit. And then a woman needs friendship. A man needs friendship in a different way that a woman needs friendship. A man needs friendship as in a companion. I'll talk about that in a minute. But a female needs friendship as a full partner. When we had girls, they scared me to death. I was afraid that I didn't know what to do. I don't know how to comb their hair. I still to this day can't put that stupid bowl in their hair and take it out. I don't know how it unclips. I think it's glued on. I don't know. They scared me. A boy is natural to me. I get it. But I had to learn that changing diapers and taking them to football or basketball or whatever we're doing was the way in which Jenny sees me as a friend. It's a full partnership in a marriage. And so women see friendship as a full partnership. Now, what if her spirit is closed? Number one, how do you close a female spirit? You speak harsh words to her. And men, we're great at that. Why? Because we're very matter of fact. The trash can is full. We'll take it out. But when we speak harsh words to a female, and that even goes down to your daughters, I've had to learn that I cannot discipline Aiden the way I discipline Lily or Ella. And I can't even discipline Lily or Ella the same way I do each other, and they're two distinct females. That being harsh with or a female wounds them. It wounds them. You know that you close her spirit because Proverbs 51 says a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. When they are closed, they don't listen to your opinions. When their spirit is closed, they're unwilling to admit they're wrong. When their spirit is closed, you close it by taking them for granted, thinking they'll always take the kids to the soccer game. You close it by being sarcastic or making jokes at their expense. You close it by not trusting her. You close it by forcing her to do something she's uncomfortable with. You close it by being rude in front of her. Now that is very important, because every man desires a Proverbs 31 woman. But the Bible says, and I think this is all hermeneutically and exegetically sound, that the way in which a Proverbs 31 woman is produced starts out in the first sentence. And her husband praises her publicly, and her children praise her publicly. And so I believe, and I don't mean anything sexist by this, but God's word is God's word, and there's a difference with gender. Say amen. I believe that a man that praises his wife publicly creates a Proverbs 31 woman to excel. And that children that praise their mother and praise the female is creating a Proverbs 31 woman. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. The most common sign of a closed spirit with your wife: she often has an argumentative attitude. You say blue, she says red. Her facial expressions reflect anger and avoidance. And women, this is extremely dangerous. Satan knows exactly how to divide your marriage. He knows exactly how to divide your family. The one thing a man can't take, the one thing that will send him running in the opposite direction, is for him to look at you and see displeasure. To see you angry or disappointed in him, because the thing that he wants the most isn't sex. The thing he wants the most is for you to praise him and to respect him and to be in awe of him. And if he thinks he's not going to be able to achieve winning your approval, he will stop trying. Very dangerous. But that's also how a woman's spirit is closed. She senses when you sense she's avoiding you, when she's unresponsive to touch, when she doesn't respect your advice, when she turns her back on you, when she's very critical of you, when she has no romantic feelings for you, or when she files for legal separation, her spirit is closed. But is there hope? Yes, there's hope. How do you open a spirit of a female? Number one, attitude. You got to become soft and tender. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. That takes time, fellas. I've had people walk up to me in the last week and say, I can't tell you what this sermon series meant for me, because last Sunday when you talked about leaving, weaving, and cleaving, you gave my marriage another week. I had another individual who said to me, I had a baby out of wedlock, and my spouse wants me to leave the baby. What should I do? I said, let me tell you what you should do. You should keep coming to church, and if you sowed the seed, it's your responsibility. I don't care what your wife says. You have a responsibility. People are all over in their life, and they're all wanting the same thing, a happy marriage. But to speak softly and tenderly is important. To acknowledge that you have hurt them and to seek repentance. No one in here can get forgiveness from God without repenting. And men, we have to learn to repent like James talks about. And you know you're repented when you have a demeanor of repentance. James 4:7 talks about it. Come close to God, God will come close to you. Be grieved and humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And when you repent and you lower yourself, he'll lift you up. And then honor. Everybody look back at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with honor as the weaker partner and heirs with you to the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The Bible says that when we honor them, we open up their spirit. And then the last one, you open up a female spirit when you initiate change. Listen to me. I get asked all the time by hundreds of couples, I want to go to counseling, but she won't go. I want to go to counseling, but he refuses. You've signed your divorce certificate. Because here's the issue. Number one, I always give the same advice. You make sure that you go to counseling even if she won't, or you go to counseling even if he won't. Because one healthy person is better than two sick people. Somebody say amen. And so if you get one healthy person rather than two sick people, then you got something going on. But the problem is, psychologists tell us that if one person gets healthy and the other person doesn't advance and put their marriage where it should be, divorce is inevitable. But how many of you know we're going to build great families? Say amen. Give God a hand clap of praise as I close. Amen. Now, I want you to understand what it means to be the bridegroom. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, and let's talk about how females can open a male spirit. Ephesians 5:33 is a troubling passage, and the Greek is very tricky. It says, "Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." There's two problems here. Number one, men, the Bible says that you're to love your wife as you love your own bodies. That's the actual Hebrew. Men love to work out. Men love their own bodies. It's a thing that women don't even understand. But you love your own bodies. And so God says you love your wife like you love your own body. There's nothing wrong with loving your own body. But if Ephesians 5:33 says, wives, respect your husbands. Now, if you misread this scripture, the word for respect is phobia. Like you're afraid of spiders. But what it actually means that you are to be in awe of your husband. That you're to respect him like you're in the awe of God. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. And so that's the kind of fear it's talking about. But here's the problem. When a husband gets angry with his wife, it creates distance. And he silently hates you. When a woman or a man gets angry, he refuses to get close. When a man gets angry, it pushes him into darkness. When a man gets angry, you touch him gently and he'll resist your soft touch. You have to communicate if you want to open up the bridegroom. And know how to communicate. We'll talk about that later. But how do you communicate and open up a man? Number one, salty, thirsty language, where you communicate to him and your approval of him. Number two, words that affirm him, motivate him. If you want your husband to jump off the moon for you, affirm him. If you want your husband to run from you, criticize him at every point. He'll run the opposite direction. Why? Because I'm saying things he's never going to tell you. Why? Because the greatest thing he fears is your rejection. That's the truth. If you accept him, you invite him. When you forgive him and release him and he admits his failure, he comes closer to you. But there are wrong words that women often use with men. They blame and accuse the husband, and the husband becomes defensive. They overflow and saturate a husband with burdens and heaviness before he has time to figure out what he's going to do. They continually analyze him, and they take words and over-spiritualize projects and spiritual superiority. I know a family, and I'm going to tell you, that wife is so spiritually and heavenly minded, she's absolutely no earthly good. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care what kind of intercessor you think you are. If you ignore your husband, God ignores your prayers. That's what the Bible says. Same thing for a man. And so the Bible tells us and encourages us to understand our wrong words with men as females. And men usually are preoccupied with practicalities. They're able to keep their identity from being intertwined with different relationships. They think logically and deduce and adapt to change better sometimes. But men are sexually stimulated by sight. And when you realize that, you're on the right road to intimacy. Men are less sensitive in many places, and they solve problems that are practical, but they detach themselves. And men, here's our problem. If you get a group of men together and you ask them, what do you do? The first thing that's going to come up is, what do you do? Oh, I'm this, and I'm that. I'm a pharmacist. I'm a lawyer. I'm a coal miner. I work at GE on the line. What do you do? And the problem is, men, when we don't know what we are doing as far as who we are and what we work at, we don't know our identity. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's how it works. And when a man is unemployed or when a man is struggling with his occupation or his job, there's not a more dangerous time in a family because a man's identity is wrapped up in what he does for a living. So it's very important that females understand how dreams and how the future and what I do and you do for a living is tied up into who we are. We can't help our wives and our children find out who they are when we don't know who we are. But at the same time, men, we should not get our identity by what we do for a living. We should get our identity in whose we are. We have been blood bought by the cross of Jesus Christ, and we're valuable no matter how much money we make, no matter who loves us, no matter who esteems us, no matter who thinks we're great. God alone has chosen us, and our identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. Give God a hand clap of praise. That builds a great family. Now, I want you to hear me, and I'm not apologizing for what I'm about to say about sex. But when you run interference with a man, you need to understand that trying to control or manipulate him is not going to work. He'll just accuse you of nagging him. And when you focus more on your children than you do on him, and you leave him out, that is a dangerous place to be sociologically. Because women tend to transfer their emotional feelings and their focus on children, and that can distance a husband by thinking he doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. Your husband is your number one job responsibility in a home. Children are second. And the reason is God knows that if a man and a woman love each other and place each other first, leave, weave and cleave, then what God is going to do is he's going to build an incredible family, because a little girl and a little boy and two other little boys in your home is going to know what a marriage looks like, and they're going to go and reproduce what they see. Monkey see, monkey do. And then interference is, of course, separate dreams, but the big interference is man's love language. Number one, unconditional love. Men, we're broken. We make failures. We fail all the time. But the other one is intimacy. While she sees intimacy as emotional intimacy, you see intimacy as sex. That's the way God created you. And recent studies say, everybody go to Hebrews chapter 13 and 4 while I close. In Hebrews chapter 13 and 4, the Bible says that the marriage bed is holy and sanctified. And I don't mean any vulgarity by this. But your marriage bed sexually is sanctified. It's for your enjoyment. It's actually God, because God is asexual. God is not sexual. That's what makes him different than the gods of Egypt, the gods of Syria, the gods of the Sumerian community, and all the other gods that are existing in the world. Our God did not have sex with Zeus's wife to create the world. Our God is asexual. There's nothing sexual about God. God created sex so that you would know a taste of the spiritual intimacy that is coming. And when God the Father sends the Son, the bridegroom, back for the bride, and you will know ecstasy like you've never known it before. Yes, you get a taste of ecstasy when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you at an altar. Yes, you get a taste of ecstasy when you feel the power of the living God. But there's coming a morning in this good, glad getting up day when the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those of us remain shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're going to know what ecstasy is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And God created sex to give you a taste of the kingdom to come. Of what it's like to be naked and not ashamed. One more time before the coming of the Son of Man. And if you don't think sex matters in your marriage, you're a fool. It matters greatly. It's the way in which you taste the coming kingdom of God. It is the way in which you weave your weaving into a cleaving. Recent studies have said that when they looked at men and intimacy and marriage, here's what sociologists have said, that men need women to initiate sex, because women, I know you don't understand this, but men need to feel needed. Fellas, there's never been a more difficult hour to be a man. We're living in a world that's completely different than our grandparents and even our parents. My grandmother waited on my grandpa hand and foot. She had three meals a day. She did all of this stuff. We're living in a different world. My grandma used to hold her wedding ring, my mom's mom, and she'd say, "I'm going to heaven to see Othar and Jesus." And she said it in that order. There's a love that this world, this generation doesn't understand. They were married almost 60 years. It's hard to be a man when you don't know where you're needed. It's difficult to be a man, ladies, in a world where TV makes fun of being masculine. And dear God, what kind of world are we living in when a man dresses up like a woman, puts on a fake pair of breasts, and we respect that more than we do masculinity? This world is gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I don't care who likes it. I don't care what political party you are. There's a difference between male and female. God created it. Like it or lump it, it's the truth. But that makes it so difficult to be a man, because a woman doesn't need a man today to provide for her. She can make a living better than a man. She doesn't need him to protect her. She can protect herself. There's no Indians out there. Me Tonto, you Jane. No, that's wrong. Me Tarzan, you Jane. Me Tonto, you Pocahontas. Marriage bed is sanctified. Just moving right along. It's difficult, ladies, to be masculine today, because inside a man, God has created the need to be wanted and to be needed. It's like Satan is so smart. He knows exactly how to destroy your children's home. The problem is, we don't know how he goes about his work. You're learning today. It says that a husband needs a wife to initiate sex. A husband often struggles with feeling of inadequacy. And let me just tell you this. Jeremy, come on up. That if a husband feels that he's going to get rejected by a woman, he'll run 100 miles that way. If a husband feels that he cannot please her and make her happy, he's going that direction. That's why nobody ever commits adultery with 100%. You don't never leave a zero and engage with 100%. You leave the 25 to 30% that's absent in your present marriage, and you go off with some floozy that gives you 75% that meets the need you didn't get met in the other marriage. That's tight, but it's right. Two snaps and a rewind, Wanda. Husbands get discouraged when their wives don't express passion for them. It really discourages a man. Husbands feel like he's not important when the wife doesn't take time to make love to him or to be with him. Husbands feel, and this is scientific knowledge, husband feels loved when his wife receives him and responds to him sexually. I know women don't understand it, but a husband needs a wife. And I know in this crazy, screwed up, demonic world, women, you need a husband. Please don't send me any letters about what I'm about to say. In the Greek, Holy Spirit is feminine. God the Father is masculine, and God the Son is masculine. When God the Father and God the Son gave birth to the Son of God, it was the feminine entity of the Holy Spirit. And I'm trying to use earthly language to make theological points with a God that is asexual. God doesn't have any sexual organs. He speaks and creates. That's why words to each other are so dangerous or incredibly important. God takes God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit becomes the seed, which is what the word in Hebrews 13 and 4 says, marriage bed. It actually is the word for the seed of reproducing man. So you have the Trinity, and God knows that when a man and a woman engage sexually that are married on the marriage bed that is undefiled, and holy. It's a foretaste of the glory of God to come. That when that happens, there's a sealing that takes place. Jesus was getting ready to be crucified. He looked up to the Father and he said, Lord, let them be one as you and I are one. And there's so many marriages that you're walking around and you're nothing more than a roommate. There's no intimacy there. There is a leaving sometimes. There's a little bit of weaving, but there's no cleaving. You have to consummate your marriage. And you have to consummate it regularly. So your children know what intimacy is like between a man and a woman. The only thing they've got to go on is this perverted, sick, twisted, demonic, sexual-driven world that doesn't understand God or His kingdom. And so God has this way of weaving you together to seal Satan's attack against you. Satan wants to destroy your homes. And if there's the greatest burden I carry, it's not finances, and please don't stop giving because I don't want that to be first. The greatest burden I carry is not Family Fest and Easter egg hunts and catechism and curriculum and PhD, and that's not the greatest burden I carry. The greatest burden I carry, I want you to hear my heart, is to make sure that you build great families that fear God and get your kids to heaven. It's not enough to get A's at calculus and be on the honor roll. You got to build a home that Satan cannot divide. You got to choose, young lady, a man that fears God. And if he doesn't fear God, stay away from his hide. There's nothing going to happen to you but just turmoil. Well, I love him. I'll change him. Yeah, bull. Let me tell you how you know that you got a possible suitor, a husband. If he's got a job, it's possible. If he ain't got no job, it ain't possible. If he doesn't open the door for you and he's nothing to speak to you, you say Shiverly is dead, you're a fool. Shiverly will be dead the day there's no difference between male and female. You find someone that adores the ground you walk on. Find someone, mister, that your sight absolutely goes crazy every time you see her. Find someone that you can't help but to put your hands on. And keep your hands away from her until you put a ring on her finger and sign a covenant that you'll be responsible for the seed you're sowing. And we will take back the earth with the kingdom and the glory of the Almighty God, because that's His plan. Don't you dare date somebody because they say to you what you want to hear. And don't you leave someone because they're broken. The Bible says that you leave someone because of adultery or abandonment. But I got news for all of you. There's hope. And God wants to help you through His Holy Spirit to build incredible families. And those families start with a mom and a dad that love each other. If you have a mom and a dad that doesn't love each other, that doesn't leave, weave, and cleave, you're building on a faulty foundation this morning. Husbands feel like they're not important because she doesn't take time to make love. Husbands feel like she doesn't love, feels loved when his wife receives him and responds to him sexually. And here's what the problem is with men, ladies. I got to say this. I wanted to be done 10 minutes ago. But the problem, the way God created men, is that if he doesn't get what he needs, and God says you should give him, 1 Corinthians says that the man owns the body of the woman, and the woman owns the body of the man. Hebrews 13:4 says the marriage bed, the seed of a man in marriage, is holy and defined. And if he doesn't get what he needs as a male, he'll go look elsewhere. And the Bible actually says that women are responsible for the sinning of men because he has no self-control. And when you ignore your husband sexually, you're causing him to sin. And what a man will do, and men, here's our problem. We can get undressed in 2 seconds and be uninhibited. Most women cannot do that at all. But when a man gets undressed and he's undressed, it doesn't mean that there's any intimacy to it. That's why the women I counsel whose husbands went off with another woman are offended. Or when a man is addicted to pornography, she gets offended like he committed adultery. And the Bible says he did commit adultery. But the truth is there's no affectional, emotional connection to that man in that picture. But man, that's the problem. We run off and we try to fill it with pornographic pictures, which are false intimacies. Or we run off and we try to find it in another woman. And God says you don't have to destroy your families. All you have to do is learn your differences and work on the 20%. You can have an A-plus marriage. A husband needs a friend. A wife needs a friend that is a partner. It took me a while to begin to understand that. But a husband needs a friend because God looked at him and said, this is not good. A man left to himself is in big trouble. This isn't good. He's got needs that I created him with that no one can fulfill but this woman. And so a man, whereas a woman needs a friend to be a full partner in a marriage and not for her to do everything with the kids, a man needs a friendship with a woman where he becomes her companion. And they go to the movies together. And they take walks together. And they spend time together. Because the Bible says it is not good for man to be alone. And then encouragement. We all need encouragement. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will help you build the most incredible families in Hopkins County. It will not happen by accident. But it is possible because we serve a great and a mighty God. Don't concentrate on your deficiencies. Listen to what I've said and go out of here and build incredible marriages by leaving, weaving, and cleaving. And you watch God bring the fireworks back to your house. Anybody get anything out of this today? I'm going to commit to you in the next 6 months to a year to doing a couple of things. It'll be on the calendar. You'll get it Christmas. Making nights where we pay for dates. Pay for childcare. We'll pay the whole night. You'll drop them off at this church and we'll have an organized date night. It could be in playing laser tag. It could be going to movies. I don't know. We're going to do date nights. The other thing is I'm going to make a commitment to men in this church to help you become the spiritual leadership of your house. Father, in the name of the precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's coming back for a church without spot or blemish to catch his bride away, amen. Love you guys. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.